Is it well with your soul? I pray that it is, and I pray that if you don't feel like it is, that you're taking the time with the Lord to get to know Him and to understand His promises and understand that He is who He says He is, and He is there, and He will never leave us nor forsake us, that He has promises and He has blessings for us. I pray that you take that time and you get to know Him, and that if you're not connecting with Him enough, then you will miss those things. You will miss out on those opportunities. You will miss out on that understanding. And if you don't know, I would encourage you to come next Thursday to our evening of prayer and praise, where we're just going to uplift each other, and we're going to sing praises to His name, and where we're just going to spend time in prayer, praying in the promises of the Lord into each and every one of our lives, and believing and standing with each other. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your promises. God, we thank You that when we earnestly seek Your face, that it is well with our soul. Thank You that when we connect with You and we get to know You more, God, in a real way, that, Father, You help us understand it. You bring realization and You bring healing to our bodies, and You bring healing to our mind, and You bring wholeness to our situations, Father. God, I thank You that when we know You in real ways, that it is well with our soul. Father, I thank You that it is well with our situation. God, I thank You that every promise and every blessing that You've given us are there for us and available to us when we walk with You and when we stand on them. So God, we thank You. Father, be with us this morning. God, continue to lead us through the service. Father, we love You and we thank You. God, be with us and be with those that aren't here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. And thank you to the music team. I'm just trying to find my notes. Bear with me. So we're starting to get a little bit of snow. It's not accumulating, so that's good. That is definitely well with me. I'm not ready to be snow blowing or pushing snow yet. So, we're talking about Christian atheists. That's a strange title. I read a book a number of years ago, and by an American pastor, and it was called Christian Atheism, and it really struck a chord with me. And so I thought we'd kind of walk through some stuff and talk about it. So I've a couple statements, a couple facts for you. 3 out of every 4 people believe in God. Did you know that? 3 out of every 4 people believe in God. 7 in 10 actually believe that Jesus is the Son of God, or He is God's Son who came into this world. That's what people surveyed believe. Now my question to that is, where are they then? They're not here. 3 out of every 4 people believe in God, and they're not in a church. 7 out of 10 of them believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They're not in a church. So what do they believe then? What are they standing on? What are the facts? So what happens is, when we look at how people live today, I think we'd all have to agree that 7 out of 10 people are not living life that really reflects the teachings of Jesus. Would you agree with that? Those 7 that say that, they're not really living like He's the Son of God. Would you say that's true? Just by a quick show of hands? Based on people's lifestyles, and not being judgmental, just looking from an overview, a scientific overview, based on what we know. And I would have to say that should be fairly accurate. So the truth is, so many of us live as if God doesn't exist at all, or that Jesus isn't the Son of God, and that's kind of a quick high-level definition of what a Christian atheist is. So for the record, this isn't going to be a shot at atheism. This isn't putting atheists down. This is really more of a shot at those who call themselves Christians and yet live as if God does not exist, or doesn't, that they live as if Jesus isn't the Son of God. And if that might be you today, then buckle up, because I won't apologize for what we're going to say today. See, this is for the people that are a little bit rebellious and full of meaningless talk. That's really what it's about. And we're gonna jump into some scripture in Titus. Oh, back up one. So this week is called, I Believe in God, But I Don't Know Him. I don't really know him. So Titus 1:16 says, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. So they believe in God, these Christian atheists, but they don't really know him yet. They don't really know who he is and what he's about and his promises and how to live. They live their lives all loosey-goosey. There's supposed to be ways to live, isn't there? There's scriptural ways to live as a believer, is there not? We're instructed by scripture to live a certain way. And yet, people are living loosey-goosey lives. Loosey-goosey to the Bible, however they want. Well, I'm going to pick this piece and this piece and this piece, but I'm not going to pick that or that or that. Loosey-goosey Christians. My boss at Husky likes to use the term loosey-goosey, and it's kind of got in my head this week, so you might hear that a couple times. But it really, I could have instead of calling this Christian atheist, I could have said loosey-goosey believers, because that's kind of what Christian atheism is. And I think if we break down knowing God into three categories, it becomes a little clearer for us, okay? So I want you to watch and determine where you are, or maybe where your significant other or your kids are maybe in this. And there's three different categories right now that we're going to talk about for knowing God, okay? So bear with me, because we've got a lot to cover, and I don't want to keep you here all day, unless you really want to stay here all day. No, come on, Christine. I heard that. I have good hearing. So the first one is this. Some people believe in God, but they don't know him. And quite honestly, that's probably many people that we know. You say, actually, before I say that, we'll back up. That's probably a lot of people. Maybe not in this church. Maybe it is in this church. But it's a lot of people in the Big C church. A lot of people in churches today say that they believe in God, but they don't know him yet. They don't really know him. They don't know his promises. They don't know what he means and what he promises and all these things. They don't know the benefits of knowing God. See, Scripture tells us that even demons believe in God and they shudder at his name, at the name of Jesus. I'm stuttering now. Doesn't it say that? They believe in God, but there's no personal loving relationship with God. They know he exists. Those demons actually know the benefits of knowing God. They don't experience the benefits, but they know what they are. But they don't have a relationship with him. And we're supposed to have this relationship with God. Today we observe a lot more of what is defined as a cultural Christian, right? Something that's, someone say, yeah, I'm a Christian because, you know, my mom was a Catholic and my dad was a Baptist, so we go to church at Christmas and Easter and Father's Day, Mother's Day, if we can, if we're not too busy, if, you know, things aren't happening, or I'm a Christian because I'm not a Muslim, and I'm not a Catholic, so I got to be something, so I guess I'm Christian. That's also the stance of a lot of people. I believe in God. I don't believe in Allah, so I guess that makes me a Christian. See, there's a lot of people that believe if I'm not Catholic or Muslim or Sikh, that I must be a Christian because I've got to be something. I believe in God, sort of, mostly. Sure, I believe in God, but I don't necessarily know him. Do you guys get where I'm going with this, what I'm trying to say, what I'm really trying to believe? In fact, 1 John 2, 3, and 4, John has some very, very direct words to say about real significant issues. that's been going on since the beginning of time. And he says this. Let's see if it's up there. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. It's not that we get to favor God by doing good, but when they know the goodness of God, when we know the goodness of God and what he does through us, that's something important. And if we claim to know God, but our lives don't represent anything that God represents, when we're not actually his ambassadors, when we're not living out the teachings of God and of Jesus, then we're a liar. That's what Scripture tells us right there. If we're not living the way that we're supposed to live, we are a liar. Right? I'm sorry, I'm not sick anymore, but this snow has made everything dry, and now my throat's, I'm sucking water like a marathon runner here or something. See, the problem is there's so many people, like I said earlier, who believe in God, and I say I do good things. I'm a good person. But they don't know God. They don't know him in an intimate way. There's even people that know a lot about the Bible and about God, but they don't know him. What good is knowing the Bible if you don't know him and you don't experience him and you don't have a relationship with him? See, I'll give you an example. I shouldn't just fly off examples off my head because that's what gets me in trouble. But when I applied for a job here at the church, the board and the pastor's council or the search committee, they had my resume. They had all the facts about me, right? But they didn't know me. There's only one way to know me, isn't there? How did you guys get to know me? Those of you that were on the committee. You brought me in. We spent some time getting to know each other. And then we had some more conversations, and then the church wanted to get to know me. So then I came in and had a meal with you guys, and we shared with you guys, and we got to talk. And that's how we started to get to know each other, right? So the Word of God, or getting to know God, isn't just reading the facts, but spending time with him, talking to him, having a relationship with him, you know, getting to know him. You can't just read facts without talking to the person, can you? How do you know him? It's a one-way relationship, really, then. You know a lot about him, but you're really missing it because you have that 18 inches from your head to your heart that hasn't been overtaken by Jesus yet. You've got all the facts in your head, but you're not living it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope you do. There's a head knowledge of all the things of God, but not a heart relationship with God and the things of God and understanding the ways of God and the love of God and the promises of God. You may hear it, but you don't live it or believe it. You don't feel it. You don't know it. This isn't a judgment statement. This is compassion here, guys. In fact, Jesus said some words that are as direct and pointed as can be. I'm just trying to find where I had that. So I never like using words like this as a fear tactic because I don't want people to come to know the Lord because I'm afraid of hell. I want people need to know the Lord because they want a relationship with him. Fear of hell only goes so far in relationship with Jesus. I believe it does because it doesn't generate authentic change and a desire to get to know him more. It's like you pass the litmus test and now you're free to do what you want. But no, he wants us to know him and not just have a free pass from hell. Matthew 7:21. What does it say? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. So there's those of us that say, didn't we go to church? Didn't back when I was in grade 12 get baptized? Or wasn't I baptized when I was a baby? I gave money when I had some spare change or when somebody really, really impacted my heart. That's when I gave money, but I didn't do it the way scriptural says. Or I tried to do nice things. I tried to be a good person. I said some prayers when I was scared or when it was icy on the highway. And Jesus, it's basically what they're saying. But then Jesus plainly said to them, I never knew you. I don't know you. You maybe tried to do some good things. You maybe believed in me, but we were never in a relationship with each other. We never connected with each other. You never talked to me all the time. Isn't that about what relationship is about? When Stacy and I started dating, it wasn't like instantly we were married. It was time to get to know each other, time to talk. The late night phone calls where you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. She did that all the time. She totally just hung up on me, guys. Just to be honest here. It wasn't even that. I was like, you hang up. Okay, night. That was my life. I didn't get that whole thing. But God wants to know us. He wants us to get to know Him. See, growing up, I grew up in the church. My parents ran the Sunday school ministry program at the church that we attended. My dad was one of the head ushers. He was a leader in the church. But the minute we moved away from that church, guess what happened? Dad stopped going to church. Mom wasn't as connected. See, their connection was to the church rather than to the Savior. We can't be living life only connected to our church, and that's what's holding our whole faith together. Our faith needs to be based on the Savior and on Scripture and knowing Him and understanding fully of what He is and or who He is, what He does, what He has for us. It's not what does Rosetown Community Church have to offer you. It has nothing to do with that. It's not what does Rosetown Alliance Church or the Catholic Church have for you. It is what does Jesus have for you. None of the denomination church doesn't matter a hill of beans. It's the Father. It's Jesus. That's what matters. Amen. So the first category is, I believe in God, but I don't know Him. The second category is, well, I believe in God, I know Him, but I don't know Him well. And I think this is a category also that a lot of church people could fall into. I believe in God, I've experienced Him, but I don't know Him intimately. I don't understand the full inner workings of what he offers. I don't understand what Scripture means. I have read it. I think I know, but has the Father told me, has the Holy Spirit revealed to me fully what this means? You don't intimately know Him. And I think that's unfortunate that a lot of people kind of hit that wall and they get to that point and they stop. See, I think it's important for us to continually have a conversation with God, continually seek His Word, continually spend time in there talking to Him, asking Him for clarification, asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you, asking the Holy Spirit to encourage you. You know Him, but you don't know Him well. In fact, Paul was talking to a group of people that very well could have fallen into this category. And, oh boy, I just did that again. What did I do? Sorry. In Galatians 4:8-9, that's where I was trying to be. And he said to them, formerly when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? So formerly, when you did not know God, in other words, you know Him now, but did not know Him before. I'm telling you, there are so many people in churches that I love so much that are in this category. And sometimes I want to say to them, what are you thinking? You don't know Him. And I just want to shake them. Because I want us all to fully know and fully understand the Lord and His goodness. You know God, but yet you're going back to some of your old behaviors, your old ways that are a little bit destructive to you, or very destructive to you in some cases. And they hurt your testimony. They hurt who you are. They hurt your standing with God. They hurt your lifestyle. They hurt who you are and who you are in Christ. And you're going down this path, and you're not really connecting with the Father the way you should be. And it weakens your relationship with God. And for me, as I shared earlier, that other category, that was my parents for a long time. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about this whole idea of stepping out of being a Christian atheist and into a fully committed walk with Him. But I'm passionate about this because when I became a follower, a full-time, full-fledged, I was sold all in for Jesus. I was being pulled into some of those things. I knew them, and this was back in high school. It was a long time ago. And I knew them, but I didn't really know them well. You know, my grandma, when she was alive, my grandpa, I used to walk around when I was a kid with a little suit on. And don't laugh when I say this, but my grandma was so proud. She's like, "We got our own little Jimmy Swaggart in the room." And back then, it was good to be Jimmy Swaggart. It was before all that other stuff, but but that's what she would say. But then as I grew older, I didn't allow that connection. I didn't keep pressing into Him. I didn't keep pressing into know the things of Him. I just kind of thought, I'm here, I'm good. And then I kind of started doing my own things and started falling into the way of the world and stepping back. And you know what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm going here? It's something that can happen so quickly. I knew Him, but I didn't know Him real well. And when that temptation to turn away, I started to turn away. And maybe there's some of us here today that are in that category. Maybe we know people that are in that category of you know Him, but you don't know Him real well, because if you knew Him, you know you wouldn't have to be perfect. But you would be being made perfect. I really am having a hard time with this word, perfected. You'd be being perfected by Him and by His presence. You'd be being transformed into His image. We bear the image of Christ in our life when we become believers, and that should be starting to come out in us as we get to know Him more. The life of Christ should be being shone out of our life based on who He is and what we know of Him, and the changes that are happening. And as we go through this transformational time, the biblical word is sanctified, but He's transforming you and changing you by His power. In your spirit, you're being changed. So there are those of you that believe in God, but they don't know Him fully yet. And the third category is you know Him intimately and serve Him wholeheartedly. And maybe you say, this is where I fit in. And I'm not holding a poll at the end of the sermon to say, which category are you in? But I want you to take an honest look at this. Maybe you say, I believe in God. I know Him intimately and wholeheartedly, and I'm excited to do His call. I'm excited to walk in His will. I'm excited for the things that excite Him. I'm passionate about the things that God is passionate about. That's what moves me. And I pray that that's the category you feel you fall into, and that you're living your life out of. But those that are here, you may not even say you're completely there yet, but you will be totally recognize some of these pieces of this imagery. You're the one who knows what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. You understand when you learn to walk by faith and not by sight, like the Impala that couldn't leap. You're the ones that are leaping over even when you don't know where your feet are going to necessarily always land. You know what it means to be gently convicted of your sin when you mess up, and when the Holy Spirit gently convicts you of that and you quickly turn from it and you return to living this wholesome life. Because being a believer and being in this category doesn't mean you're perfect. And Holy Spirit will lead us away from the things that are imperfect and help lead us back to knowing Him and repentance. You're the one who just, you know what it means to wake up and say, God, I want to give all glory to you today. God, I want to be passionate about what you're passionate about. Like I said earlier, move my heart, God, to what moves you. God, reveal to me who needs you. That's your desire. It's not for your glory, but for His. It's not for you to live a great life, but it's for you to bless others. That's what it's about. You see the hand of God at work, working through your life all day, every day. You recognize Him in conversations you have with people. You're not living a loosey-goosey life, but you're focused on the passions and the things of God. That's what it means to be in this category. You sense God directing you to care for somebody. That's what it's about. Oh boy. You realize that your strength doesn't come from yourself. Your strength comes from Him. He makes you strong. His word is part of your life. And at the end of the day, you don't measure the day by how you did or how you feel or what you got done or what you feel you accomplished, but you measure each day by how did I serve and glorify God today. That's what it's about. That's what our purpose as believers is how did I glorify God's name today? And if that relates to you, and you're not perfect, like I said, nobody's asking you to be perfect. God isn't calling us to perfection. He's calling us to continually change to be more like Him each day. But we know that it's a process and that we're not going to be perfect like that, right? It's a process. And I love the imagery of David in Psalm 63, verse 1 to 4. Listen to a man who loves God, a man who longs for God, a man who needs God. And that's who David was. Not this David. Well, I do too, but this David I'm talking about from the Bible. Listen to the intimacy of his language when he says what he says this in verse 1. He says, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift my hands." That's a reflection of a person who is not perfect, who didn't have it all together, but he knew God's intimacy, and he was longing to know Him more each day, wholeheartedly. God, I long for you. God, I earnestly seek you. You know, that wording there and the way that reads, and the understanding there, it's a lot different than what a lot of people might talk. Like, I believe in God, yeah, whatever. I believe in God, but I don't necessarily know Him. I believe in God, but I don't know Him that well. It's, God, I know you. I earnestly seek you. God, I want to know you more. I need you, God. And that's where I want us all to get to. That's the point where I want us to be. As a church and as believers. So how well do you know God? Let me give you a little bit of insight that might help answer this. What you call God determines how well you know Him. So Psalm 9, most scholars believe that Psalm 9 was written by David, as most of us also probably believe, and I don't know if any of us are scholars here, but I think most of us would agree that David wrote the Psalms, right? For the most part. So let's read this together. Can we say this? Those who know your name. What? Trust in you. Those who know your name, they trust in you, God. They trust in you. Those who know the name of God, trust in God. So those who know your name trust in you. So I'm going to give you some example, a quick couple of examples. If my phone rings at Husky, and somebody says, Mr. Misko, do they know my name? Do they know me? I have one salesman that knows me, and he's been a friend, and we've been friends for a number of years. And every time he calls, his voice is the same, and it's not a real formal, it's a Mr. Misko. How's it going today, buddy? And it's one of these types of conversations, but when you get the, hello, Mr. Misko. Yeah, I'd like to tell you, you know, that's not a name or not a relationship that is established, is it? No, I don't think so. If you want to call me Mr. Misko like that, by all means, go ahead. But I would much rather be in a more, not intimate, I'd like to be more in a familiar conversation with people. You know what I mean? Maybe if you're a telemarketer, I might have just hung up on you when you started with Mr. Misko. We'd like to tell you about, bye. Thanks for the insurance call for RBC. But my friends, they call me Dave, right? And I really want people to just call me Dave and know me as Dave. Because my hope is, we're not friends yet, that we're going to become friends at some point. That's the goal, isn't it? That we become friends with and get to know each other in a deeper way. And I have nicknames that my old friends might call me, like Misko, Buddy, Disco Misko, and all sorts of different names. Those guys would have, they probably called me that, oh boy, I don't even want to think of how long, 20 some years ago. That was my nickname, was Disco Misko. And white bread, but I'm not really that white, so I don't know why that stuck, but maybe because my friends were brown. I don't know. They were. Sometimes on the offensive line, I had a brown guy and a brown guy, and we were called the Oreos. I don't know why that happened either. I'm not white, but that's okay. It's okay. But those guys knew me on a different level. Then there's these five creatures that call me Dad or Daddy. We've spent some time together. We've had story times. We've prayed together more than most people. I'll pray with most people because I've known them since they were tiny. We've had snuggle times and tickle times and bedtime talks. And I used to love make-believe story time where I make up a story and I'd really just retell the story of Star Wars. But they didn't know that then. But it was great. I was brilliant storyteller. But they know me on this whole different level, right? And then there's someone who calls me handsome or sweetheart. Sometimes she calls me stud. Actually, she never calls me stud. She calls me David when I did something either really bad or really good. But she knows me in a way that nobody else knows me. Anyways, there's different, what I'm saying, trying to tell you is there's different levels of knowing somebody. Do you understand that? I hope you do. So, let's read. Where am I? Oh boy, I just lost my spot. Hang on, go back one. See, those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Those who know your name. Do you know his name? Do you know the names of the Lord? Do you call him by the names that are identified in Scripture? If you call him, I've heard these things like the man upstairs, you probably don't really know him. It says something about your relationship with him. Or back in the day, I watched this movie called Talladega Nights, and they would always address the opening of the prayer as, Dear 6-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus. Is that how well you know Jesus? Is that how you know him? Because I pray you know him much more intimately than that. But it says something about your relationship with God. But maybe you know him as Abba or Father. Maybe you know him as Savior because he saved you from your sins. Maybe you've called him Friend because he was there when no one else was around. Maybe he's your provider and you call him God, my provider. Maybe he's your comforter because he comforted you. He sent the Holy Spirit to comfort you. He's your Lord. He's your King. Do you see what I'm saying here? We have so many names. He has so many things. And what we call him, when we call on the name of the Lord, because we know him in different ways, it's much different than, hey, big guy. Hey, man upstairs. You know what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? We need to know him in these real ways, these tangible ways. And it's important. And suddenly, he's not just dear God, but he's someone that you know intimately and individually based on the situation that you've lived in life. Jesus called him Abba, Daddy, because Jesus knew him as Daddy. And some of you, like I said, know him as Father, Abba, Daddy, Daddy God. And I think it's important for us to know him in that intimate way like we've been called to know him. And when you get to know him better, your heart starts breaking for the things that breaks the heart of God. You start to care about those things that he cares about, like people. I did not like people, guys. I really didn't like people. I like my people, but I didn't like people. People made me uncomfortable and annoyed. They drove me crazy. But as I started to get to know him more, guess what? I started caring for more. People. Because what does God care about? People, doesn't he? He wants to know each and every person individually. He wants to bless us, doesn't he? He wants to bless people. He wants to love people. And that's what started to change. And suddenly you're praying for people that you never thought about before. And you start sensing his presence each and every day. I'm going to call the music team up. And when you're part of that group, you start to sense his presence wherever you go. When you're walking through the mall, you start to feel a stir in your heart to pray for somebody, or talk to somebody. There's people that have been out and all of a sudden feel the Lord tug on their heart to give somebody $20. And all of a sudden you find out that they needed that $20 desperately or whatever. You know, you've heard the stories. Maybe you've been part of that story. And I encourage you, as you get to know him more, you start to get passionate about the things of the Lord more. See, everything we do should be done in the name of Jesus, right? Everything we do. That's our act of worship, and I've shared about that before. Everything we do, when we mow our lawn, we're just not mowing our lawn, we're worshiping God. When we're walking down the street, we're worshiping God. Because you know him intimately, and everything you do, every breath you take is for him. And as we get to know him more, the good news is as he wants to reveal himself more and more to you in a new way. And it doesn't become a game of hide and seek, because we don't need to wonder if he's going to show up. Because we know that he will continually be there. Because he says, if you seek me, if you look for me, you're going to find me. Doesn't he? He says that in scripture. If we look, there he is. So we need to start putting that trust in him and start living that way. So for those of you who say, I know him, but I don't know him well, you're one prayer away from getting to know him better. For those of you that say, don't know him at all, you're one prayer away also from getting to know him better. He wants to open up his heart and show you his goodness and his promises. He wants to get to know you in new and real ways. Every good thing we have is a gift from God. His greatest desire is for you to love him and know him. That's what he wants, and he loves you. And my prayer for you comes out of Ephesians 1 to 17 to 19. It says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope which has been called you, which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his in- incomparably great power for us who believe. That's my prayer for each and every one of us as a church. That should be something we want and something we stand on. See, as that song we sang earlier, this scripture here to me just wraps that all up. Because his goodness and all these things, all the inheritance we have, all that stuff, when the wind comes, we have that inheritance. We have those promises. We have those blessings to stand on. So why is this my prayer for you? I want you to know him better. I want to know him better each and every day. And I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened so that you may know the hope which he has called you to. That you wouldn't stand there and say, this is where I'm stuck. But you would know that hope. That hope that only he can bring. That hope that only he can give. The riches of his glorious inheritance into his holy people. And his incomparably great power for those who believe. The great power we can all stand on and live our lives on because we believe and we live a lifestyle like that. I pray that you would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you would know our good God better and better and better. Because it pleases him when his children know him. It pleases him when we know him better and when we want to know him better. When we know how to communicate with him, that pleases him. So, Father, we pray today that your Holy Spirit would do a work in your church and draw us closer to your Son. Father, I pray that today is the day where we take a stand and we start believing and living a life like that. Father, that we would get to know you in new and real ways. Father, that we would lead others into a relationship with you. God, that we would, when we have a need, Father, we would come to you and that we would know you. That we could call you Abba, Father. God, that when we have a need, we would call on you and call on our great provider, because you are our provider, God. Father, when we're alone, that we would call you friend and comforter. God, I pray that our reliance of each and every person in this room would be on you and you alone. And it wouldn't necessarily be on each other, but it would be on you. And Father, I pray that you would allow us also to be used by you, God, for speaking into other people's lives, for loving other people, for encouraging others, and for being there for each other. God, we love you. God, give us a good week this week. Give us opportunities to love each other and show each other your love and your kindness, your mercy, God. Break our hearts for our neighbors and the lost, Father. Allow us to share your goodness with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to sing one more song, and I'm going to meet you guys at the back. Have a good day, and God bless.